Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you go history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. We'll talk about an issue and then get to the lines as they're lighting up. I'll take you in order. Stand by. A major event happened over the weekend. The House of Representatives finally passed the approximately $1.2 trillion hard infrastructure bipartisan bill. It had 19 Republican votes in the Senate. It's already passed. And that same bill went to the House. It was held hostage by the progressives for months. They put a gun to the head of that hostage. Wouldn't pass it. Even though they also wanted the hard infrastructure. They wouldn't pass it until they said initially the Senate passed the soft infrastructure, $3.5 trillion. That got whittled down to $1.75 trillion. And then Manchin and Sinema would want this and that, and Bernie would want something back in and all that kind of thing. Why did they finally vote? Why did some of them, not a lot of them, finally vote for it? Well, here's what happened. Pelosi is a very good speaker. And she was told privately by enough progressives in the House, they call themselves progressives in the House, that they wouldn't vote for the hard infrastructure. Well, they were holding it hostage for the soft infrastructure, so she did not submit it to the floor for a vote. But she knew she had some Republican votes. So what finally happened was, and remember something, remember this. Pelosi's majority is 221 to 213. 221 to 213. She can only lose about three votes. Or she can't get something passed. Three votes. Well, this time she engineered 13 Republican votes. 13 Republicans voted for the hard infrastructure. And all but six Democrats voted for the infrastructure, the hard infrastructure. So the final vote was 228 to 206, which is very good. And it passed. And the good thing is it's the Senate bill, so it doesn't have to go back to a reconciliation committee of some sort. Biden's going to sign it this week. We're going to start putting the trades to work, start putting electricians to work, carpenters, sheet metal workers, laborers. This is all terrific. Operating engineers, very, very good stuff. Very, very good stuff. And what the progressives negotiated with her was that they would have a procedural vote, only a procedural vote, that they would then vote ultimately on the soft infrastructure, assuming that the numbers worked out, that the professionals in the budget department took a look at it and said, yeah, it can be paid for this way. It's sort of a little up in the air. Why did the progressives finally change their mind? The overwhelming reason with the elections that just happened, where we lost the governor of Virginia, we lost the majority in the legislature in Virginia. We almost lost the governorship. And I say we, I mean the Democrats in New Jersey. And we lost about five legislative seats in New Jersey. The second thing was desire to avoid blame. Progressives did not want to be blamed for those losses. They will be anyway. The third was they were worried. They finally woke up and realized the so-called Byrd rule in the Senate. What's the Byrd rule in the Senate? B-Y-R-D. He was a senator a long time ago, and he's the one back in the 70s who engineered something great. You know, you filibuster every budget if you could, if your party didn't have the White House. So he put in what was called budget reconciliation. It was a fig leaf that just basically said that, okay, On certain financial things, you only need 51 votes. But there's a parliamentarian who said, has rules on whether when you try to sneak stuff in that isn't financial, that you can do that. And this parliamentarian has already said that you can't sneak immigration stuff in and a couple of others. What people don't understand, so let me be very blunt about it, 51 votes can also overrule the parliamentarian. Also overrule the parliamentarian. So the parliamentarian says, well, you can't sneak stuff in. You go, well, I am sneaking stuff in. So get out of here. Go out of here. But when you only have 50 votes and Kamala Harris is the 51st, the progressives realize, and you don't have Manchin and Sinema, holding this thing hostage forever is just going to result in nothing getting signed. And so they caved. Well, did they all cave? No, they did not all cave. Six of them still did not vote for the hard infrastructure, the squad, and a couple of their surrogates. Six of them. If no Republicans had voted for it, it would have failed. So who continued not to vote for the hard infrastructure? Ocasio-Cortez, Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib. They still would have held it hostage and sunk it. What saved this were, in this case, 13 Republican votes. And they did it because they had a good example in the Senate of 19 Republican senators. None of these 13 Republicans in the House or anyone else will vote for the soft infrastructure. None of them. That means that Pelosi has to put together a majority, can only lose three votes to get the soft infrastructure through even the Congress itself. And then they've got to get buy-in from Manchin and Sinema in the Senate. And that's what's happened here. So there's something like 8 centrists in the House of Representatives who told Pelosi, we're not going to vote for it unless we get this, unless we get that. She is cobbling that together. She is a master. She's a master. She's also put back 4 weeks of family leave in and put back in the immigration provisions. And if she can get her centrists and only lose 3 of them, she'll pass it. Do I think that Sinema and Manchin will go for that? I don't know. I think that Biden is a master arm twister. And if anybody can do it, Biden can do it. But the good news is that the hard infrastructure finally got passed. And, you know, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. Ocasio-Cortez, Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib. They really are in a separate political party. You got to understand that. It's the Working Families Party. The Working Families Party is a separate party that's operating as a caucus within the Democratic Party right now. Now, I think that Nancy Pelosi and the rest of them think, okay, well, you know, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer, so at least we have them in our embrace, and they're going to pull this stuff occasionally. We'll figure out a way around it. I don't believe that. There's something like 90 people who claim they're progressives. It's sort of the fad of the month. I'm a progressive. That keeps people off their back in other districts. How many real progressives are there who would go to the mat? Maybe 30. And in this case, there were 6 that would have sunk the bill, unless Pelosi was able to get some Republicans to offset them. They have their own caucus. Their caucus meets. Those expenses are paid by the Congress, by the taxpayers. They have their own whip. Anytime a vote comes up, they whip what they want to do, not what the Democratic Party wants to do. They take toxic positions. For instance, they support the BDS movement, the boycott, divest, and sanction movement against Israel, to isolate Israel, a country of what, 6 to 9 million people, when there are almost 1.5 billion people around the world who are against them, and there are allies in the Middle East. The shameful group, the six that I just mentioned, even voted not to resupply the Iron Dome for Israel when it was subjected to more than 4,000 rocket attacks paid for by Iran from Hezbollah and Hamas. Then AOC changed her vote to present because she wants to run for the Senate in New York, and she cried, and she sniffled, and they all hugged her and said, "We understand why you're doing it. You want to trick the people in New York. Good for you." You know, this, I'm tired of this. These people are not Democrats. Not Democrats. And then you have Ilhan Omar, who came out of a refugee camp in Somalia, and suddenly on the Foreign Relations Committee. She's the chair of the Africa Subcommittee and gets confidential information about what? Our special forces operate in Africa. I don't want that. I don't want that. Nobody wants that. I especially do not want that. Okay, we're going to break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. The lines are live. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.